Good morning and welcome to CFTRI's very own Thali Tales, the fortnightly audio digest. Thali Tales brings you useful information on nutrition, food research, hygiene and food safety. Brought to you every fortnight by CSIR, Central Food Technological Research Institute, Mysuru. Volume number 1, issue number 6, 10th May 2019. This Thali Tales package brings you jaggery and sugar, a twin fight, yeast everywhere, and honey, sweet honey, interview with Dr. Anu Appaya, Senior Principal Scientist. Jaggery and sugar, a twin fight. In the wake of conscious lifestyle and healthful food choices, we sure cannot completely give up on our beloved sugar, the most tried and tested and also the most versatile processed commodity in the whole world. Sugar has no doubt made us realize that its sweet presence in our lives cannot be replaced. But today, it is not the notorious sugar that we are focusing on. Today, we have yet another sweet member born of resource from Mother Nature. It is commonly called identical twin of sugar, which is not so identical but not so typical, yet the quiet cousin in the family of other sweetness. We bring you jaggery, also known as unrefined sugar or crude sugar. Jaggery is a favorite for its health benefits. Its decade-long contest for replacement with its twin rival, refined sugar, is very well known by us. We are sure you have always weighed jaggery and sugar in the same basket of sweetness. But they are so different. Let us tell you more about this not-so-identical twins. The technical name of jaggery is non-centrifugal cane sugar, NCS. Because there is no spinning process that removes molasses, nor is there any further refinement. Jaggery is a traditionally prepared raw sugar obtained by evaporating water from the sugar cane juice. Although both sugar and jaggery are majorly obtained from the sugar canes, jaggery can also be made from date palms and toddy palms. It is three-step process for jaggery making. First, the extraction of juice or sap, then clarification or straining of the juice or sap to get clean liquid, free from impurities, and lastly, concentration of filtered juice by constant boiling and water evaporation. The initial steps of extraction and boiling of juice are common for both sugar and jaggery. But the sugars get an additional bone charcoal treatment. This gives us a colorless, transparent liquid. Further, processing with chemical and mechanical process gives us the white crystals. Jaggery, in contrast, is only thickened juice. The boiling continues until the dough-like consistency of the paste is formed. Impurities are skimmed off the top layer, and the paste is poured onto vats or molds and allowed to cool in order to get soft cut pieces or big blocks of semi-hard jaggery. This differences in manufacturing also makes the end product different. Both jaggery and sugars have sucrose crystals, but the crystals in sugars are defined and transparent because it is devoid of molasses and other nutritive factors. On the other hand, jaggery has anhedral crystals, which means the crystals are not well formed with a definite shape. These irregular crystals form an amorphous or shapeless mass. The crystals thus are not visible to the naked eyes because they are surrounded by molasses and other nutritive constituents. Sugar is a white, has a snowflake, whereas the color of jaggery varies from yellow to golden brown, dark brown, or even close to dark chocolate color. The color changes arise because of boiling time and also the variety of raw material used. Sometimes gummyish, soft and chocolatey, jaggery is far more complex than sugar because of long chains of sucrose. This takes time to digest and so is not instantly absorbed and does not spike glucose levels in the blood. Apart from being a good source of calories with 65 to 85% sucrose and 10 to 15% fructose and glucose, there are also vitamins and minerals like vitamin B, iron, magnesium, potassium, manganese, traces of zinc and selenium are also present. Some fiber content is found owing to presence of molasses. Jaggery aids in digestion and prevents constipation. The reason why age-old tradition of eating jaggery right after food is still followed by most elderly people around the country. For women with premenstrual syndrome, eating jaggery with lukewarm water can help relieve cramps and abdominal pain. It is the quickest, sweetest and easiest way out for women on a cranky day. Jaggery is also known to aid in anemia prevention. Even with so many advantages, it is still fighting to create its own reputable brand in the food industry space, unlike the famed sugar. Of course, jaggery wins the fight over sugar in terms of being healthier choice. Yet, at the end of the day, however nutritious, it is still mostly sugar, which means a lot of calories, and so we advise you to consume it sparingly, not too much, not too less, sweet enough to keep you healthy and smiling.
Yeasts everywhere. Surely you would have heard of yeast, if not any other yeast, at least the baker's yeast as a kitchen ingredient is familiar to all of us. Probably yeast is the only microorganism that we relish to have in the kitchen. Do you like the softness and flavor of fresh bread? Then say thanks to yeast. It is the yeast which make the bread to grow bigger and smell sweet. But did you know, when we say yeast, it is not about one plant or animal. Yeast is not one organism. There are several varieties that affect our lives. In fact, yeast is not a name describing an organism, but a noun describing a way of life of microorganisms. All yeasts, for example, multiply in their numbers by what scientists call as budding. They just grow big and pinch off a part of themselves into another yeast. Almost all yeasts are single cell fungi and belong to either Ascomycetes or Basidiomycetes, two of the four classes of fungi. They are also good fermenters. Microbiology may be a very recent science, but humans have been using yeasts for as long as from the first civilization. Some bread samples as old as 9,000 years have been found in Egypt, which indicates that yeasts were being used at that time too. For more than 3,500 years, yeasts have been used almost everywhere. It has been used in Arabia, Egypt, Peru, China, Japan, Indonesia, and also our own India from ancient times. Our very own kulcha would not have been possible without yeasts. As we said, yeasts are microorganisms that multiply by budding. They have come to occupy an important place in human diet because of their unique way of living. Yeasts can live with and without oxygen. When oxygen is present, they use up their food completely and produce, as we do, carbon dioxide and water. by a process called aerobic respiration. On the other hand, when the oxygen is limited, they still use up their food, but produce, instead of carbon dioxide and water, alcohol and carbon dioxide. This is the process of fermentation and is pretty useful in making bread and brewing wine. Yes, yeast are the real brewers. Look closely at grapes. All grapes in a bunch appear painted with a faint white coating on them. No, the coating is not of pesticide or other chemicals. In Brewer's Dictionary, it is called a bloom and is nothing but a coating of yeast. Like grapes, every fruit will have some yeast on it. Not only fruits, even grains, stems and stalks of plants will have a burden of yeast on them. This is what gives a baker or a brewer his magical touch. Closer home, yeasts are responsible for the soft and fluffy idli too. You might have often heard of idlis prepared by some worms as being specially fluffy. The reason is not any magical touch of the ladies, but a right recipe and, most importantly, the yeast on the urad dal used in the batter. In olden times, bakers were much respected and often were richly paid. Royals had their favorite bakers too. That is because it was thought that only some bakers with a magical touch could bake good breads. The reason for their magical touch was the yeast in their kitchen dust, or in flour, or in the leftover dough. Like we use old curd as a starter for fresh curd, bakers used leftover doughs. While the yeast has been there in the kitchen for many millennia, its real nature was revealed only about 150 years ago by the legendary French biologist Louis Pasteur. He showed that it was the presence of yeast and not any chemical reaction which produced alcohol from sugar. As we know, there are many yeasts, but the best known is Saccharomyces cerevisiae. It generally affects fruits and is used for both baking and brewing. Bread not only gets that fine flavor from yeast, but also gets some plant protein. Yeast also help break down some difficult to digest proteins in the grains, especially those in lentils. The husks of most cereals also harbor yeast. When the grains are milled along with the husk and soaked in water, yeast awaken and digest some of the starch and protein in the flour. This is what we term as malt or malting. Malting helps to unlock the potential of millets. Ragi malt, for example, is a very nutritious food for kids. Yes, yeasts are there in soil too. Unable to produce their own food, like bacteria, they break down all that dead and down plant parts, thus helping us in recycling many a matter. Yeasts are everywhere.
Honey, sweet honey. Well, the oldest sweetener in the history of mankind is a special liquid. Its manufacture, constitution, and uses are always on the side of mystic. Honey, therefore, is a metaphor not just for sweetness, but also for its uniqueness. Why it is so, explains Dr. Anu Appaiah, Senior Principal Scientist, CSIR CFTRI, Mysuru. Come listen to what he says.
Can you please tell us about honey's chemistry?
Honey basically do not contain any sucrose, but it contains glucose and fructose. The combination of glucose and fructose decides how thick the honey is. You would have seen that honey are of various thickness. We call that as viscosity. Now that thickness changes or increases or decreases based on the quantity or the amount of glucose and fructose that is present. Along with that, it also contains the pollen from the flowers. It also contains enzymes. It contains the other polyphenolic material which is present in plants. These polyphenolic materials are one which gives the medicinal property to a honey.
How is honey processed? Is anything added to that?
Nothing should be added to honey. But then there is a processing step. In all large scale, because it is a glucose and fructose combination, there are yeast which can grow and ferment. Hence, there is a process of pasteurization. This pasteurization is, the honey is taken to a certain temperature, kept at that temperature for either 10 minutes or 5 minutes or 7 minutes, and then it is cooled. Now that we call it as a pasteurized honey. The importance of this pasteurized honey is that there will be no microbial growth, and you would have seen that if you keep honey for a long period of time, it crystallizes. But when it is pasteurized, that crystallization step do not happen. All pasteurized honey do not crystallize.
Are there any differences between honey that is got naturally or that is got from beekeeping or those from the wild natural bees?
Yeah, we do see a lot of difference between the wild honey collected and those which have been cultured in the boxes. That's because in wild, the same comb will have brood, that means to say the eggs are laid, we call them as a brood, and the lower part of it will contain honey. But while extracting, we press both of them when we are collecting it from wild. Whereas when it is cultured in a box, the brood will be only in the lower portion of the box. And the upper portion, which we call as the super, will contain only honey. Hence, a honey which is cultured in the box has only honey, whereas the honey that has been collected from the wild will also have the extract of the brood, which is very, very rich in protein. That is, eggs that has been broken, the pupa or the younger ones of the honey that is present is also crushed.
So that means naturally processed honey has more protein when compared to cultured bees.
We can say that. Yes, because in natural processed honey, we don't try to cut the brood and separate out only the honey. We extract the whole thing. So it will contain a higher quantity of protein, which is called as an insect protein, which are very, very good, actually assumable. And in earlier days, the younger children used to be given a small piece of the brood to eat. If you go to the village and see and ask your grandmothers, they always used to give a piece of the brood to the youngest child so that the protein that is present there, even though it tastes a little awful and bad, they would always make these younger children eat that only to see that the extra protein is given to those younger children.
How do we detect adulterated honey? Is there any simple method?
There are some simple methods, but then it's quite difficult to do it also. One of the simplest method that I can tell is you put a few drops of honey on a filter paper, or if you don't get a filter paper, on two sheets of newspaper. I'm not talking about the glazed paper, a regular newspaper. Wait for 2 to 3 minutes and see from the lower side of the newspaper. If there is a watermark on the newspaper, that means to say something else also has been added, because honey will never mix with water, whereas hot water will mix with honey. So whenever they want to add anything to the honey, say for example sugar solution, jaggery, or even rice starch, all this, whenever they want to add, they put it in hot water and then mix it with honey. And that water will leave a watermark on the filter paper or on the newspaper. That's one of the easiest ways. You can also taste and see. You can see that there is a change in the taste. That is provided you know you are quite well versed with the taste of honey. But then the other tests are quite expensive tests. You have to take it to a laboratory and get it tested. But in the shop, the easiest thing is put it to a newspaper, wait for 2 minutes, see if there is a watermark.
Is adding water harmful?
Yes, because honey should not be added with anything. We should not add water also. Because if ever you add water, in the beginning when I pointed out, I said the thickness of the honey is because of the glucose and fructose. When you add water, it becomes thinner. And when it is becoming thinner, that means to say other organisms, microorganisms will start growing. Honey is considered such a good food only because no microorganism can grow. Because it is very thick It has a very high sugar content. It will not allow any organism to grow. But whenever you add water, the microorganisms will start growing and then you get a sour taste in the honey. So water should not be added to honey.
Can we find out from which place a honey has come?
There are various methods of doing it. People all over the world are trying to do it. Now, the simplest way is to look what is the types of pollen that is present. The other method is to find out what are the phenolic content that is present in the honey. Because each of the plant has a different type of phenolic constituents. Each of the area has a different phenolic constituents. And then the glucose and fructose ratio also changes from type of bee and area of where it has been cultivated, or area of forage as we call it as. So depending on all this, we try to put all of them together to find out which area it has come. But there are honey, say for example in Jammu and Kashmir or in the whole of Europe, we have honey which does not contain any pollen. That is because in those honey, it is collected from the resin of the tree and not from the flower of the tree. Now the same type of honey can also be seen in Chhattisgarh area. So these we call it as resin honey. Now if I broadly classify honey, honey are basically classified, what we get is multifloral honey. We have many types of flowers. The honey is collected from many type of flowers in the forest and or in the field, and then honey is produced. But if you take a honey box and keep it in a field which contains only one type of flower, say for example in the northern part of our country or North India, mustard, when it is grown, there are thousands of acres of only mustard. If you keep a box there and collect only mustard honey, we call that as monofloral honey. The same way we have the third group is the resin honey, which is not a floral honey, but from the got from the resin of plants.
Is there any tips to select the best honey?
that is quite a difficult question, yes. The easiest way is find out whether there's any water added, taste the honey, and if ever you already purchased a honey, now all that you can do is you keep the honey in a smaller container with a small quantity of water on the top for around 5 to 7 days. If it starts fermenting on the top, if you see bubbles coming out from the top, then you know that something has been added to honey. Then it's quite difficult. You should know the source. You should know from a buyer from whom you are buying. At this particular point of time, I would also like to tell something called as what we call as synthetic honey. Synthetic honey is honey only. But then, when in large scale, what they do is, they keep all the boxes in one end in a big shed, and the shed is closed. The temperature is maintained, relative humidity is also maintained. On the other side of the shed, they keep either jaggery or molasses or any sugary material. The honeybees go collect that, make honey. It will not contain any pollen, it is not from any flowers. So it is from whatever material that has been put there. This way, but then it is honey. We call this as synthetic honey because this can be harvested every 20 days. Whereas in a natural honey, we have to wait for at least 3 months for harvesting. Whereas in this particular synthetic honey production, we can harvest it every 20 days. So that means to say, choosing a honey, you should know from which source it is, or you should taste the honey and take it.
Thank you very much.
Dear all, that was Thali Tales for this fortnight. Hope you relished, enjoyed it. Miss Namrata Varkekar, colleague Sharma, contributed the stories. Narration was by yours truly, Abdul Majid, and colleague Sharma. Thali Tales is a free magazine produced and distributed by CSIR CFTRI Mysore. You can also freely share Thali Tales with anyone you want. Listeners may send their queries and suggestions on food and related issues directly through WhatsApp to 944-912-0618. You can also call the number 0821-251-5910 from Monday to Friday to ask any questions related to food and its safety. Thali Tales will try to provide answers in subsequent issues. See you again next fortnight. Until then, bye-bye. Do whatever you want to do.